back, WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into playoff football. Playoffs, it's the wild card week. We're going to spend the playoff Thursday at G&A in White Marsh. All going to be brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have some Raven scratch-offs to give away. Get them while they're hot, as well as some holiday cash drops left over. So we'll be giving these away, and see my friend Andy. I've got some commitments out for Thursday as well, and our friends at Window Nation, of course, 866-90-NATION, taking great care of you. 5 years interest-free. You buy two, you get two free. Even a better deal than I got back in August. Luke Jones joins us now. He will be monitoring the most monitored thing in our community over the next 72 hours, the health of Lamar Jackson. Luke, what do you know out in Owings Mills?
I mean, you say the next 72 hours or this week. It's been over a month we've been doing this. I mean, let's face it. The stakes are certainly higher this week, but what I know is what I've been relaying to you and to others for the better part of the last month. Not much. And I think
and they will lie to you. That's the other part about it.
Sure.
Like, and they will lie.
I was just going to say, if you see the various national reports over the weekend, much of the same. Some sound more optimistic, others sound less optimistic. I think what's evident at this point in time is John Harbaugh even had a monologue that he offered after Friday's practice. I think it was some damage control from the standpoint of Lamar Jackson is hurt. You know, like this isn't some. Some scheme where he's holding in entirely or the team's just being completely he did suffer an injury. And I think it's very evident at this point, as we're talking over a month since it occurred, that it was a little more serious than they initially thought, led on, portrayed, however you want to portray that. And there might be some truth to different explanations there.
And there might be some he said when it's all over with. Like,
sure,
if this thing were to get off the trail after Sunday, if they were to lose, I just – what I'm writing about this week is, like, does anybody believe that they can go and win, but that there's nobody that doesn't believe there's some drama on the other end of this. Whenever this is over with, there's going to be a story to tell about this last month that isn't at all what we've seen happen out in public, which is Lamar wakes up one day, he might be able to go, one day he's not. I think it's a lot more complex than that.
I think that's fair. I mean, there's certainly an injury at work here. We can certainly debate how the team has handled it in terms of, look, what they've said in press conferences, very little in terms of specifics. There's never been a timetable offered publicly in terms of John Harbaugh talking to the local media after a game or during the practice week. However, let's also remember Lamar Jackson does not have an agent. So it's very unlikely that these national reports that started, 2 days after the injury, originally what was one of them, 1 to 3 weeks and all that, go down the list of things we've heard from Florio and Schefter and Rappaport and Rich Eisen, who, even talked about it this
all
past
of those
week
people
on his own.
Are only, the only sources they have are Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh.
I mean, someone within the organization is the point.
Or Chad Steele. Let's go with that, too.
I mean, whoever. But the point is, it's coming from the Ravens. Right. Lamar Jackson, to this point, there's been no evidence that he leaks information to the media. And that's not to say that's never happened, but we know he doesn't have an agent. And we know how high profile national reporters, typically working for some media partner with the NFL, get information. It comes from teams or it comes from agents. That's typically how it works. Yes, sometimes players directly, but more often than not, it's coming through back channels in some way. And we know that the timetable expressed at different points were far more optimistic than how this has played out. So I'm in agreement with you. Yes, there's more to the story. Does it mean it's as bad as some have theorized it being, in terms of Lamar checked out or he wasn't going to rehab? No, I mean, he's been in the building. I can't, as I've said to you before, I don't get his daily itinerary, but I've seen him in the building. If you follow players on Instagram, he's been in the building. He's been in the trainer's room. He's gotten treatment.
If he's a kid that doesn't want to play on Sunday night, he's a kid you shouldn't sign for $232 million. That's not a guy you should marry. If he's
sure.
Truly Roger Dorning and saying, I don't want to, and I don't believe – I have no basis to believe that or accuse him of that in any way. But I tell you what, All you have to do is put on players who've played in the league who maybe share his race, share his background, share a battle with an ownership over money. All of these high-profile athletes, they all say you shouldn't go out there and work for free. And they said that before the season began. Two of them are on this year's network. Dennis Colatzos and Nestor both said he shouldn't work without a contract. Like, why is he out there playing the first 15? If he was willing to go play the first dozen games, why would he not want to go play in Cincinnati on Sunday night if he felt healthy enough to play?
Well, and that's what I keep coming back to. And this is why I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com, I think it was 2 days after the injury occurred, that this was not a case that it benefited any party, the Ravens or Lamar Jackson, rushing him back to the field, because we know how he plays. We know his style. We know what truly makes him special and a generational talent at the quarterback position is his mobility and athleticism and his legs. So from that standpoint, this shouldn't have been as surprising. Now, when I wrote that, did I think that meant he was going to be missing over a month and not playing again in the regular season, and we're going to be talking about his status being in question for the wild card round? Of course not. I don't think anyone knew that, you know, one way or the other. I mean, you just don't know. And I did caution at the time of this injury that it was a PCL injury. And what name did I bring up? Rashad Perriman. And I think back to how the Ravens handled that. And, you know, there's, you know, I don't want to say they're major similarities, but the point of there being uncertainty and the team clearly not doing anything to clarify. And I get it to a point for competitive reasons, but at the same time, you get to a certain point. This is when people, when conjecture starts to take over, when speculation starts to take over. And when you are talking about a situation of a contract, and let's remind everyone, he's not playing for free, made $23 million this year. And to your point, if he showed up and was there for minicamp, was there for all of training camp, did not hold out at any point in time, even the OTAs, that's voluntary. He was not contractually obligated to go to that. So the point being what you said,
right?
Exactly. So from that standpoint, for me, the notion that, you know, this is at all him saying, oh, I'm just not playing, even though I'm ready to play, you know, I don't buy that. I think there is a business element to this for him in the same way there is for the Ravens, by the way. It does not behoove them to put him out on the field sooner rather than later in terms of if he's not ready and there's another playoff failure then and he doesn't play well and he's not looking good. Is that going to help their case? If it comes to a point where they are not getting any closer with the contract and they are looking to deal him at some point, whether it's this offseason, next season, whenever. So, you know, we keep coming back to sometimes, you know, it's almost like an Occam's razor situation. Sometimes the most, you know, the most obvious explanation is the right one. And, you know, it feels like the timetable was probably longer than they anticipated early on. I think that's evident at this point, based on some of the media leaks over the first 2 to 3 weeks of this. And what John Harbaugh had to say on Friday would have benefited far more if he had come out and said something along those lines, say 2 or 3 weeks ago, rather than the eve of the regular season finale. So, you know, from that standpoint, we'll see. I think, as I've said for a few weeks now, there's no more gamesmanship involved from the standpoint of hiding him from practice. He needs to practice. He needs to be out there. You know, I thought he needed to be out there last week. If we're talking about, you know, wanting to get him ramped up and ready for a playoff game, not suggesting him even playing in the finale on Sunday, but more so in terms of he hasn't played football in over a month now. You know, you don't just sit out and then you roll the ball back out there and you're ready to go when you've missed that much time. So, you know, this week you need to see
that would be very
him
Lamar,
practicing
though,
all
it?
Week. And
wouldn't that be Lamar? Like, not see the field for 5 weeks, go out, practice Thursday and Friday, get on a plane, go to Cincinnati, shuck and jive, and somehow they win 33-31. And so I'm like, that's their scenario this week, though, Luke, right? Like, that's the best they can do.
Sure.
And one thing I'm writing about is that in retrospect, in 5 weeks later, all this just got awful football. It's been awful to watch this, right? And watch them mostly lose, but they won a couple and they lost a couple. But it hasn't cost them anything, right? It doesn't cost them until 8:15 on Sunday night, right? Like, none of this, the fact that Lamar hasn't practiced and the fact that half their guys didn't play the other day. Like, none of that has cost them. It becomes a cost to them if they're losing 13-3 in the first quarter and Lamar can't play and they're not there. But, like, Lamar can still rescue them. There's still an escape hatch for them here this week. But to your point, the time's getting short. Like, whether he gets to the practice field this week, he's certainly not going to play Sunday night if he didn't practice all week, right? Like, there's no chance of that.
Sure.
But we've seen these other guys, like, they can't win. Tyler Huntley can't win. And certainly Anthony Brown, they can't win on Sunday night in Cincinnati. That's obvious to me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really care what happened on Sunday. There were two things of consequence that happened in that game on Sunday. Gus Edwards leaving the game after being examined for a head injury, and Alex Kappa, Bengals right guard, who's probably been Cincinnati's best offensive lineman, leaving with what looked like it could be a significant ankle/knee injury. And, you know, some of the early speculation wondering if he's even going to be back for the playoffs, let alone Sunday night. Those were
Boyd
the two.
Got banged around too in the game too. Yeah.
What? Who's that?
Boyd.
Oh, yeah. He came back in the game though.
Yeah.
But the point is, I mean, this was a game that was a couple steps up from a preseason game. Look, give the defense credit. When you're put in a position they were put in with the turnovers, the defense played well. I mean, that was Joe Burrow, one of his worst games of the season, and he's played some unbelievable football the last couple weeks. But do you know what was Cincinnati showing in that game? What was Baltimore showing in that game? Again, they competed. Give the Ravens credit. They played hard enough and just well enough that Cincinnati had to play its starters the entire game. And maybe they lost their right guard for the playoffs as a result. Beyond that, I'm not taking anything away from what we saw in the game that changes how I feel about this matchup from Thursday, you know, last Thursday or last Friday. I mean, it comes back to it once again, as you said, Lamar Jackson. If Lamar Jackson is out there, Ravens have a heck of a chance. You know, it doesn't mean that they're going to win. Doesn't mean that they're going to be favored, but they have a very legitimate chance. If it's Tyler Huntley, who I would certainly expect at least him to be ready to go. And I think there was certainly an element of wanting to rest him with the reality that he might have to be the guy against the Bengals this coming Sunday night. But you know what? It's clear what their offense has been, what it has not been without Lamar Jackson. And, you know, even on Sunday where they competed and they moved the ball a little bit and certainly kept it, I don't even want to say interesting because I didn't find the game overall to be a bit terribly interesting, but kept the score close enough again that Cincinnati had to play. You know, they had to play the entire game. But yeah, I mean, if we're talking about this in any kind of term that's serious in terms of the Ravens making a run, Lamar Jackson's got to be out there Sunday night. And, you know, as you said, and as I've alluded to for a couple weeks now, he's got to practice. I mean, this is clearly an injury that you need to see what he looks like. He has to feel comfortable. You have to feel comfortable with how he's looking, moving around. A PCL injury, while not as serious as an ACL injury, does deal with stability of the knee. So, you know, I don't want to say, you know, I don't want to speculate on the chances of a setback, but it's certainly the kind of knee injury that, you know, is a little more complex than just putting on a knee brace and saying, go get him, kid. You know, because we know what his legs mean to him and what his legs mean to this entire offense. So, it's tough from that standpoint.
Yeah, the notion that he could have run around a little bit last week in practice just to go out there and run around a little bit, that you weren't going to play him, right? I mean, you knew that going in, but like seeing him appear, and to your point, I don't know what the magic trick is here. Harbaugh is so caught up in his mind about all this paranoia. He's such a paranoid human being to begin with. It's his nature. I don't know that any of this could play into that paranoia, that there's a benefit to hiding Lamar Jackson in a bag somewhere and whipping him out this week. That's not the reality of the circumstance. I mean, you have to be pretty far-fetched to think that's the case, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's something you could have done the week of the Steelers game, the first Steelers game. You know, that's something you could have done the first week or two because he wouldn't have been that far removed. I mean, when you're talking about missing 5 or 6 weeks, got to get your clock back, so to speak, right? I mean, he hasn't been out there with forget about live bullets of a real game, even just in practice, you know, where there's a pocket around you.
Well, just the
and
terminology
all of
the plays as well, like literally just cadence back. And I mean, look, they had a hard time getting the plays into 24 seconds before.
Sure. Well, I mean, the one thing I would say about that, you would certainly hope the mental side, he's remained engaged, and Greg Roman has said that. You know, I mean, obviously he hasn't been running practices, but you know, he's still been part of meetings and things of that nature, and certainly been there for Tyler Huntley as much as he can be when he hasn't been rehabbing and getting treatment. So, I mean, look, it's not ideal. It's certainly not ideal. And I think part of that is, you know, consider Cincinnati and Lou Anarumo and a defense that, while it's not best in the NFL, it's a good defense. And it's a defense that at times has given Lamar Jackson and the Ravens a lot of trouble offensively. So there's that element. And again, what we saw on Sunday, you know, what were the Bengals showing? What were the Ravens showing on either side of the ball? You know, without having an extensive chance to review it, as you and I are talking right now, you know, I'm guessing it was more on the vanilla side for each team, you know, which you would expect, knowing that there was a high likelihood that they were going to play again in the wild card round. So, you know, it really is as simple as, is he going to be out there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? If he's not, then there's not going to be a whole lot of drama to it. Then he's probably just not playing, and that's just going to be, that's that.
And but then the line goes to 11.5 instead of 6.5.
Sure, sure.
Vegas thinks he's playing. I mean, the early line says Vegas thinks Lamar's going to play. Or they're going to figure out a way to get him out on the field. Now, how that goes, I mean, he's nothing with at 80% to me. You know what I mean? Like, if he's not 94% and can't cut and move and run in this league against that defense that we watched on Sunday, you're not doing anybody a service by putting him out there, I don't think.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I agree with that entirely from the standpoint of he's a much better passer than Tyler Huntley or Anthony Brown. Your general point, I agree with. I mean, you know, if he's far less than 100%, then yeah. And that's where you do start getting into some of these other elements that go beyond what happened Sunday night and thinking about the offseason and the big picture, both parties thinking of the big picture in that sense.
I mean, the big picture for him is go out and hand the ball off, stay in the pocket, don't run the way you usually do. Let's just give it our best. And then you go out there and you lose 34-16. And then Lamar goes into contract mode the minute the season ends, right? Billick always says time for pay, time for play,
sure.
Right? Time for pay begins the minute that Harbaugh has a we didn't win the Super Bowl press conference, right? Like, even before the locker room's closed, that'll happen. And that's the heaviness for the organization right now. For me, the heaviness isn't, are they going to win the Super Bowl or not? They're not winning the Super Bowl this year. Most of us are already on that. What happens after this in this very, very messy scenario in an organization that has its claws into older players in a lot of ways that were sort of built for these 3 weeks? Calais Campbell didn't come here to play football in October. He came here to play in January. Same thing would be said for Justin Houston, who looks like he's aged 10 years since training camp and the post-game press conference on Sunday, that these older players are older. Zeitler rested this week, right? I mean, Mark Andrews isn't older, but they treat him like he's older at this point. So the amount of money they have into Stanley and into Marlon Humphrey and where they are and Roquan Smith, like all of the can of worms that we'll spend next week talking about and all that, but all that is really boiling on, this is the big week. This is the playoff week, and we don't have flamingos out on the lawn. We don't have a prayer of playing a home game, right, at all. This is far less than ideal from a management situation this week for any of them, whether Lamar plays or doesn't play. There's only one good outcome here. Lamar plays and they win. And this time next week, we're not talking about what happens about cleaning out lockers and how's John's job security and who's leaving the Rams job and which his brother doing. Like, all that comes next week. But this week, this is supposed to be the best week of the year, bro, right? I mean, you're getting ready for a playoff game. You and I are getting the buses ready for Cincinnati, and we're going, and we have press credentials, and we're all there, and the city's all purple. Boy, that's what they dream of on a year-wide basis, right? Like, they live their whole lives into this, we're going to play in the playoffs, we're going to win playoff games, we're going to win a Super Bowl, and now they're here, and it's kind of icky. You know what I mean? Even the success they've had to be a playoff team, this is, everybody's here waiting for the bomb to drop, like literally.
Yeah, and I mean, that's where, I mean, a few minutes ago you had made comment that they hadn't lost anything up until this point. And I understood your general point in terms of They were still in the playoffs. They were still alive, right? But they did miss some opportunities. If Lamar Jackson never gets hurt, there's probably a heck of a chance that they, at the very least, they were playing for the division. Like, and I don't mean coin flip scenario on Sunday. I mean, they're playing for the division or they were ahead. I mean, if you recall, 6, 7 weeks ago, I actually thought the Ravens would clinch the division before they got to week 18 for two reasons. One, they had a very favorable schedule. And two, Cincinnati had a bear of a schedule. Well, we saw how the Bengals handled that. They haven't lost since Halloween. So kudos to them. They deserve that. But on the flip side, yeah, the Ravens, if they don't lose Lamar Jackson, are you confident that they at least win one of those, you know, maybe two of those games that they lost in the second half of the season? Sure. So from that standpoint, not to say that they were going to be the number one seed, but certainly could have been looking at being the three seed, let's say. You know, they could have been in the position of where Cincinnati is right now. And then you would be talking about a home playoff game in the first round. You would be talking about scenarios where you could host in later rounds. As it stands now, when you're the sixth seed, you know you're going to Cincinnati, and you know if you win, unless the Dolphins somehow do what a lot of people would think would be the impossible or certainly the highly improbable, you know you're going to go to Kansas City in the divisional round, and we know, you know, how that typically goes for teams. So
I like barbecue.
Yeah, hey, nothing against Kansas City.
If they're
playing
Kansas City next week, this all of a sudden becomes a successful season. Like, literally.
I guess. Yes,
find
I think
the
you're...
scenario where they beat Cincinnati on Sunday night. Find me any. I can't. I don't know what it is. I've watched them play. I'm going to sit here all week, talk to half of Cincinnati, talk to all these people, and I don't have any scenario where I really think they're going to win. But to your point, if Lamar shows up healthy, they can win. And then if they can win, then we could be sitting here next week with purple flamingos on the lawn, and you and I are flying to Kansas City because that's what we do, right? Like, I think we would begin to believe a little bit.
Sure.
If they won a game. They won a game, this would feel like a different season for them, certainly psychologically in the building, for Lamar, for all of that. They need to win a playoff game. Same as they needed to do before Lamar won the last playoff game a couple years ago, right? Like, Lamar's won one playoff game. This is where you get pelts. This is where you get, traditionally, this is used to be where you got contracts. Now, you would say, well, we can't penalize guys that don't win playoff games. They get to get paid too and play quarterback. But this is where you become worth $232 million to a franchise when you can win these games and you're available and healthy for these games. Believe me, what lost on me when Joe Burrow got sacked and he took his right arm, I don't know how the hell ball got protected because he was using his right arm to brace himself as he went down. And I'm thinking to myself, man, get him out of the game if you're Zach Taylor on Sunday. Because this is everything for all of these franchises. This is everything they worked for. And I think they'll do everything to get Lamar to the field on Sunday. I mean, I kind of vibe that he'll play. I kind of vibe that they'll lose. And I kind of vibe that next week and the next 9 months, because I've done this for 26 years, will not go well when that happens. And the thing that changes all of that is just a week of going to Kansas City next week and getting your ass kicked. That would make everybody feel a lot better. If they lose to Patrick Mahomes 20, you know, by 21 points, 41 to 20 next week, if we're talking about them next week playing a playoff game, it's a successful season. And that's, I'm a critic, and I would say that's a successful season for them if they win this week.
Yeah, I mean, I struggle with that idea a little bit, but it's certainly better than if Lamar doesn't play on Sunday night and they lose by 13 points, whatever. I mean, the defense is, you know, they have a good defense. They have a good running game. Even if it's an ugly affair, that's something that, you know, I mean, we saw it on Sunday. As much as I don't want to put a whole lot of stock into the game one way or the other, you know, it was an 11-point game, because when you play that kind of style, you can generally – hang in games. And we've seen that. I mean, the Ravens haven't been blown out this year. You know, from the time Lamar got hurt, they've lost games by, you know, it's been one score like it was against Pittsburgh, or it's been 10 points like it was in Cleveland, or 11 points like it was in Cincinnati. I mean, you know, that's kind of how it's played out. So do I think if they, you know, if Lamar comes back healthy on Sunday night and they beat Cincinnati, does it constitute being a successful season? I mean, I'm not sure what it changes in the big picture. I don't know if that changes anything for him contractually, as far as his position versus the organization's. I don't know if that saves Greg Roman's job, for example. But you certainly would feel better about it. At this point, I think, and I'm not saying that they're primed for it right now, but at this point, I don't know if just getting to the divisional round again is good enough for this team from a standpoint of feeling great about it. I guess you could, but you certainly feel better about it. So I don't want to argue semantics with you. But again, it comes back to, it's very simple. We've talked about this for weeks now. We'll continue to talk about it throughout this week. Everyone that you talk to on the air over the next several days, it'll come back to, is Lamar Jackson playing or not? If he plays, they absolutely have a chance to win this game on Sunday night. If he doesn't play, then well, probably what they did on Sunday in committing four turnovers, you're going to be looking at the opposite. You're going to need Cincinnati to turn the ball over multiple times and, a special team score, a defensive touchdown, something along those lines, because, without Lamar Jackson, we've seen it once again on Sunday. This team struggles to score more than 16 points. I mean, it's kind of, that's kind of been their top threshold, with either Huntley or Anthony Brown at quarterback. So, I feel like we're a broken record talking about this, but it's kind of where it is at this point. And we know what this team does well. We know what they haven't done well, especially in that. And that's been, that's been highlighted when Lamar Jackson isn't out there. And this was an offense that wasn't exactly clicking in all ways, even with him out there in the weeks leading up to his injury in early December. So we'll see. Again, follow the injury report. Follow my updates from Owings Mills. We'll see him out there. Or we won't. And if he's not out there, then not going to play on Sunday night. I mean, it really is, I'm not trying to be flippant about it, but when you're this far into an absence, he's got to practice. I mean, there's no gamesmanship involved. He has to practice at this point. And they'll list him as limited. So there'll be that, okay, how much did he actually do, as far as when the media is out there for the first 30 minutes, and then how much does he do when the media is ushered back inside the building? So, and that's the case for any team, to be fair. That's not just a Ravens thing. But other than that question, then we can speculate a little more and see if he talks and see what's said and see what he looks like in the little bit that we get to watch. But there's going to be plenty of unknown. I'll say this much, whether he comes out and practices a tiny bit, or whether he ends up practicing fully over the next few days, they'll list him as questionable. I mean, we know that much, and it'll just be a matter of just how questionable is he. But until he's out there at the very least, then it's kind of a moot point. So we'll see. I think one element that I did want to mention, because it has been reported, and I've seen a couple different national types mention this, there's been the mention that he's still dealing with some swelling in the knee, which if you're talking 5 weeks after an injury and you're still talking about potential swelling in the knee, I would say if I were him, at the very least, I certainly hope he's sought some other opinions and some second opinions to make sure that there isn't something else going on.
If it's swollen today, it'll be swollen Monday morning after playing in Cincinnati.
Well, and it's just, again, it's just a matter of if you're still dealing with swelling, that's where you look at this thing and wonder, okay, it's pretty evident this thing was more serious than they thought initially, whether it was portrayed dishonestly or, as is the case, and this is where I go back to what John Harbaugh said on this past Friday. If he had said it 2 or 3 weeks ago, I think it would have served a much different purpose, much more positive purpose in that way, because it would have cut down on some of the conjecture and speculation and frustration from fans, which I totally understand that. But you never quite know with injuries. I mean, I always call it the Madden football game effect, where, you play in that, and I know you're not a video game guy. I used to be once upon a time, but you would have injuries when you would play a season on the video game, and it would say a certain number of weeks. And guess what? At the end of those certain number of weeks, the guy automatically came back and he was fine. That's not real life as far as how injuries go. Sometimes it can be far more complicated than that. Sometimes guys come back sooner. Sometimes guys come back later. Sometimes guys don't come back at all.
Look at J.K. Dobbins this year. Look at Ronnie Stanley this year. And there was all this point where we were all asking, Dennis was asking, sure, you and I were sitting here week six, where's Ronnie Stanley? Where's Ronnie Stanley? Is he ever going to play? And John said something that we thought was a little flippant, which is he'll play when he wants, when he's ready to play, when he feels like he can play. And I guess that's what happens to a 30-year-old grown-ass man with $100 million in the bank, is saying, if I'm going to go out there and do that, I need to have full confidence. You're not going to tell me. I feel that way about radio, dude. Nobody tells me what to say, even if it's in my best interest or not. Like, they're going to do what they're going to do. They're grown-ass men. In the case of Lamar, all of this, swelling, contract, can I win? Can I be effective? Am I letting the team down? Do I care if I let the team down because the team let me down? So there's all that going into this week. But, Nick Boyle's career's over, right? Like, you saw him get cut the other day. J.K. Dobbins, they were talking about his scar tissue attached to his bone, and they're showing him on the sidelines in Cincinnati over the weekend. And you're thinking, he rushed himself back. They rushed him back. He was barking the last time I was out there as a legitimate media member, June. He was barking to the media about, I can play, I'm ready, I'll be ready, like all of that stuff. Then the reality of him running like a shot racehorse after he broke away from the pack at one point a couple of weeks ago, and we're all like, God, he looks like he's hurt. They're all hurt. It's the end of the year, right? All of that, but for guys to get back on the field when they've had that kind of injury. I'm talking about Stanley, Boyle. Burrow had one of those kind of injuries a couple years ago, right? You and I talked to Flacco at length out of Roost Chris years ago after his injury, just about what it takes to get back and how you're feeling about it. And gun to your head when you're Lamar Jackson and you're not running well and you've had swelling on your knee and this is the most important game of the year and you're going to be judged on it. And I think that that's the issue that all the athletes, when I hear the talking heads on TV talking about Lamar will lose this playoff game if Lamar gets on the field Sunday night and the team loses, because that's the way this sort of works. That's also at play here in regard to his contract, in regard to his value. His value is obvious. They can't win without him. So, and that should be his first negotiating point in the offseason when he puts his feet up on the desk and says, are you going to give me this money or are you going to deal me? And they're going to say, dude, you weren't ready to play the biggest game of the year. Like, how can we pay? You know, that's where this week is just,
sure,
it's caustic, dude. It is really, really on the brink for the whole franchise right now. Money, future, in addition to the fact that we're both in agreement on this, we both would bet what we have in our pockets, and we're not betting men, that they're not winning the Super Bowl. So this isn't going to have a happy ending either way. At the end, this is the band's going to break up in a bad mood at some point, whether it's this week, Kansas City, wherever it's going to be. The band's going to break up in a bad mood, and they're going to have contractual issues, veteran players, lame duck offensive coordinator, coach has been here for 15 years, and lies his ass off and is trying to hold the pieces together through all of this. DaCosta's drafts are going to get brought up by you, and where's their wide receiver, and like all of the criticism of the failure sits on the other end of midnight Sunday night for them, and that's the worst season in the world for them. I mean, that's the roughest part of this, is that it got off to such a good start. Kid's gotten injured. We're not sure if he's going to play. Even if he plays, we're like, the Bengals are probably still better for a lot of reasons. But all of this weighs very heavy on the franchise this week, because they sort of know they're not going to win the Super Bowl. I think deep down, maybe not in the building, but the inevitability of all the ugliness on the other end of the business that they have to take care of. It's going to be a bad offseason of business for them. It really is. This isn't going to go quick. I don't think Steve's just going to say, just give Lamar $240 million, sign him up, bring him back. I don't want to fight about it anymore.
And to your point, I don't think Lamar Jackson is suddenly going to acquiesce because of how it's played out, right? I mean, you just said, hey, all he has to say is, did you see what your offense looked like without me? Have you seen what your wide receivers are? You know, and again, I'm not saying Lamar words it exactly like that, but is he going to suddenly change his tune? And, you know, you just mentioned it, Nestor, this is 2 years in a row. 2 years in a row. Now, if Lamar can get back on the field Sunday night, win, lose, or draw, well, there's no draw in the playoffs, but you get my point, then at least he's able to come back, and it's not a case where he has been unable to finish 2 years in a row. But yeah, I mean, you look at it, we talked about it all last year. They were 8-3, number one seed going into that Pittsburgh game at Heinz Field when he when they lost and they went for two at the end of the game, and then the following week is when he gets hurt. I mean, it's, you know, it's frustrating, and I am glad that you brought up Ronnie Stanley and J.K. Dobbins and Nick Boyle, and that is another reminder once again of these injuries and the perception. You know, maybe not Boyle, but certainly Ronnie Stanley. I mean, how many times we heard fans, even some media types over the last 2 years, kind of ask, okay, what's the deal here? Why isn't this guy playing yet? And you understand it to a point, but at the same time, there's a lot on the line here for these guys as far as money they're making. It's a lot on the line for the organization as far as the investment being made in the player. But, you know, it's complicated. You know, sometimes surgeries don't go well, as was the case with Stanley's first. Sometimes rehab doesn't go well. Sometimes guys have setbacks. Sometimes, in the case of J.K. Dobbins, it was a difference of opinion in terms of, hey, are you going to let the scar tissue break up kind of organically, for lack of a better term, or do you want to go get your knee scoped, and hopefully that helps the flexion of your knee, and it has. He's looked better since coming back. I mean, he's arguably been, you know, he's been a top three or four running back over the last 5 or 6 weeks.
Well, he'll,
I mean,
be
that's
a reason
good
they win on Sunday if they win.
Yeah, and that's a reason why he was held out of action on Sunday. I mean, he was one of the guys they prioritized to keep out of harm's way. But it's another example, as far as with Lamar, of, it's easy to be cynical. It's easy to be pessimistic. It's easy to ask questions about this situation. I've asked questions about it, and, you know, I haven't heard answers. And sometimes you hear someone offer some optimism and someone else isn't so optimistic about the situation. So, you know, there's plenty of that going on, but ultimately, you know, it still comes back to, this was an injury. This was an injury to it was a lower body injury for a player who needs his mobility, needs his speed, needs his athleticism. This isn't Tom Brady or Philip Rivers or Peyton Manning. I said all along, this is not slap a knee brace on it and tell him to go get him and play from the pocket more. It's not how it works. Now, that's part of the conversation a little bit more at this point now, I think, rather than in week 15. But it's still a case of, for the Ravens, for Lamar to have their best chance to be successful on Sunday night and the remainder of the playoffs, however long this run goes, whether we think it's going to go very long or not, it comes down to him being as healthy as possible. We'll find out this week if 5 weeks have made enough of a difference, or you and I are talking about most likely, you know, kind of a, you know, a summation of the season. If he can't play Sunday night in Cincinnati, and then the Ravens probably lose, because that's how important he is to this football team. I think that much should have always been obvious, but has been painfully obvious over the last 5 weeks.
Oh, it's complicated. Luke Jones and I are here. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on Thursday at GNA Coney Island Hot Dog in White Marsh, no longer in Highland Town, but I'm going to have some Highland Town friends joining us as well out in White Marsh. We'll be there from 1 until 4, and I'm going to get Andy's famous Highland Town crab cakes. I'm looking forward to that. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.